Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, Patience in the Lord, based on James chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And our broadcast this morning is being sponsored in celebration of Dub and Sharon Knight's 64th wedding anniversary. Congratulations on such a milestone. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Nyer.
Good morning. And a special welcome to any guests and visitors we have with us here this morning, and a special welcome to everyone who is also joining us online and on the radio. We are so glad that you could join us here. We're glad that you're here in the Lord's house, where we are here to receive His promises and to hear His word. For we know that the Lord is here, and that His mercies are new every morning to forgive sins and to pour out His blessings upon us. And may we sing our first hymn, number 794. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Thank you. with you. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child, to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran to and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, for by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. for joining me up here. So I actually have a confession that I made an oopsie and that I prepared a children's message for next week's reading. So, in light of that, I'm going to briefly explain what next week's readings are, because that is that's the story that we hear so many times, where Jesus receives the little children and he invites the kids to come to me. Do you remember that story? Maybe not, but we'll talk more. That's why you're up here. We're going to talk more about it. So, do you know what this is? It's a card. What are you able to say? What does that say? Oh, it says, "Let's party." This is, in fact, a birthday card. She's got a birthday. Olivia has a birthday coming up. So, you know what I love about parties? Birthdays, you get to send out a bunch of invitations to all of your friends. Yeah, and balloons, exactly. You have balloons, you have cake and candles, you have a bunch of games and friends to play. Going to birthday parties are awesome. We love to be invited to them, right? Well, we hate to be left out, doesn't it? Being left out of parties and being left out of events, it makes us really sad. Well, in our gospel reading, again, that we're going to see next week, Jesus doesn't want us to be uninvited. He, in fact, wants everybody to come to him. And that's why he says, "Let the little children come to me." People were bringing all of their children to Jesus that they could be next to him, because Jesus was known for being a man full of love and kindness and doing all of these great things. And people were saying, "No, Jesus is way too busy. He can't spend his time with all of these kids." You know, people just like us here at this time, they were saying, "No, Jesus can't spend time with us." But again, he says, "Let them come." Jesus wants everybody to come, no matter how big or small or how young or old. We are all important in God's eyes, and he loves us very much. Well, in light of this, can we pray together and thank God for his love? My dear Jesus, we thank you for your invitation. As you invite us to spend our time, our life, and eternity with you, we ask that we can come in confidence, knowing that we are always welcome to you. And keep us safe. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me up here. You can grab a piece of candy and go back to your seat. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. service last week, we had looked at James' command, where he told us to submit ourselves unto the Lord. For as we saw, James was compelled by the Holy Spirit, and so he was then moved to remind us that we need to do that which is good for us. He had to both compel and urge us to do that which was just, plain, reasonable, and beneficial. For again, we remember that submission to the will of God is, of course, it's good, right, and perfect. For indeed, when we do submit to the Sovereign Lord, we are again submitting to the Good Father. And it's a submission to one who rules all things well, because he's the God of love who works for the benefit of his children. Well, dear friends, this morning we are going to continue looking at James' call to submit. And we're going to expound upon it even farther. For how often is the case that when we are told to submit to the Lord, there are countless objections that people could make. And surely our own flesh is not even immune. Our own sinful nature and fallen flesh can think of excuse after excuse. And in folly, we can push back, convinced that there are plenty of reasons for why we shouldn't submit. We can easily think of exemptions to the command, and we can make countless arguments for why James' advice is plain wrong. And indeed, in practice, we are prone to push back, never wanting to submit. For are there not times when our own eyes tell us that everything seems to be falling apart? And should I, as James says, submit unto the Lord when the Lord has allowed calamity to fall all around me? Should I submit unto the Lord when he's even allowed tragedy to fall even closer into my home? Submit when the worldly man seems to be succeeding and prospering? When the non-Christian and evildoers seem to have all things going well for them? And when my eyes and ears tell me otherwise, that the ways of the Lord are sure and good, should I still then submit unto the Lord? Well, dear friends, in our epistle reading this morning, James seems to confront those objections. For three times does he now urge us to be patient. When the trials come and when calamities hit home, be patient, he says. Verse 7, he says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Take example from the farmer, he says, who must wait in patience for the harvest, and who must wait patiently for the late summer rains. And again in verse 8, he says, be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And lastly, he said it again in verse 11, and see just how bold James gets. For he then brings up for our example the steadfastness and the patience of Job himself. In the mind of James, it would seem that Job is a man to be admired, and he is a man worthy of our emulation. That Job, the man whose wealth was plundered by thieves, whose 10 children all died in a single storm, whose body was tormented by boils and sores, and whose own wife and closest friends relentlessly tormented him with ill advice and accusations. This same Job, James says, we should desire to be like, and he is put forth then as our example. For through it all, Job remained steadfast. He remained submissive and true to the Lord. Through the trials, he remained patient, resting and trusting in the Lord's will. When things were chaos around him, when his eyes and ears told him that the ways of God were in fact chaotic, yet Job remained steadfast, patient, and unwavering to his God, and submissive to the Lord's commands. And so does James put Job up to be again admired and emulated. He's raised up as an example. Emulate him, James says. Follow not the example of his wife. Follow not in her footsteps. For when she was confronted by such things, we see that her faith wavered. Her submission to the Lord then took second place. In perhaps fear, hopelessness, or sorrow, her patience with the Lord wore thin. And so she desired to take control of the situation. She responded to all of these things by saying, "Just curse God and die." Job's wife said to just put an end to your misery. If you blaspheme God, maybe he'll just strike you dead and you can finally be released from this unending evil. The advice of Job's wife was just that, to quit submitting. Through her advice, it's as if she was suggesting that obviously God's will for you is just pain and sorrow. It's apparently obvious, she says, that he means for you evil. So she says, just quit submitting to such a God. How many pagans prosper and have not a care in the world? So rebel yourself once more and get peace for yourself. Submit no more, curse God, take control of your own life, become your own master, for surely you at least know what is good, right for you. Well, needless to say, dear friends, that Job's wife is not put forth as our example. For in fact, even her name has since been lost to time. Her fame and honor has vanished into the wind. For it's patience that's a virtue. And it's patience that shall, in God's timing, bring forth a harvest of abundance, a harvest of blessing, and ultimately a harvest full of eternal glory. Meanwhile, it's impatience that sickens the heart. It boils the blood and it sours the temper. Impatience spoils the whole man and all of his duties for life. Because one lacks patience, that is when poor decisions are made, and poor decisions are close at hand. Impatient is when judgment ceases and discernment vanishes. Sin is always crouching at the door of the heart, and impatience is always quick to let him in. Job's wife is proof itself. When we look at her impatience and what she says, we could just as easily mistake those very words as the words of Satan himself. Curse God and die. And with such results as that, truly does impatience with the Lord breed sorrow. And when you sow a field with impatience towards God, you will reap a harvest of sin and grief. When you take things into your own hands, forsaking the will of God and breaking commands in order to fulfill your own desires, you will reap destruction. Abraham proves a sorrowful counterexample of godly patience. For we see that when he was given a promise from the Lord, a promise given that he would have a son and be the father of many nations, he proved impatient. After 10 years of waiting even and seeing no fulfillment, his impatience grew thin within him. His patience grew ripe. And taking things in his own hands, does he then proceed to sleep with his own maidservant? Not submitting to the Lord's will, not being patient, to the very point of taking control in his own hands and sinning to fulfill his own desires and wishes. All of this is proved to cause calamity, hurt, sorrow, and discord. It became, in fact, a thorn in his side and in the side of his family for the rest of his life. For truly did God have other and greater plans for him. And so the command that James gives is to trust and be patient. Sure, do what you can and work for the Lord, but be patient with the results. Be patient in that you are trusting the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Work for the Lord, but be patient in that you don't sin in order to accomplish your work. Be patient for the Lord to provide and not to sin against yourself and neighbor. Be patient still in that you will not lose sight that God is still working in your very midst and in the midst of tragedy. But rather, trust in the Lord and submit yourselves unto the sovereign will. And in time, you shall have a harvest of abundance. Going back to Job, we see that true patience looks like, and the blessings that patience brings. For we find him taking solace in the Lord, saying, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he says, "Shall we receive a good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" And thirdly, does Job say it again, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in the Lord." Dear friends, that is what the patience of a tried man looks like. That is the patience to be admired and emulated. And it's a patience that shall not put you to shame. It's a patience that shall cause the saints to rejoice in for eternity. As James says, you have heard of the patience of Job. And indeed, we have all heard of the steadfastness of the servant. But not only us either, but rather throughout all the ages, the multitudes have heard of Job's patience. Generations have found solace and comfort in his story. And beyond just us, even the forces of hell have heard of Job's patience. The enemies of God have been put to shame through the steadfast resolve of Job. They have been proven powerless by the Almighty God, for they have been caused to be trampled underfoot by such a lowly servant of Christ. And not just us, not just the forces of hell, but the angels have also heard of Job's patience. And they have worshipped God in wonder because of it. The patience of Job has brought glory to the Lord, that he should always prove enough, sufficient even for the one who is suffering in this life. It's brought honor to the servant who is counted worthy of suffering in the name of the Lord. Patience and endurance through trials bring eternal honors to the one who stands through it all. The servant of Christ shall receive everlasting joys and honor in paradise as they hear the good Lord say unto them, "Good job, my good and faithful servant." The one who is patient in suffering is a cherished vessel through whom the Lord has displayed his love, mercy, compassion, and strength. And the honor that will bring to glorify God for eternity shall far outweigh the trials of the moment. And yet it's the trials of our worldly afflictions through which we shall bring lasting honor, fame, and glory to God. But even still, when contrasted to eternity, they will be seen for what they truly are, as a simple pin's prick in time. They are but sorrows for a moment when we compare them to the unending joys still to come. Though our trials hurt for a season, they shall seem as if just a temporary inconvenience when we reach our eternal home. In all these things, the exceeding weight of glory to come shall one day make us laugh. For we will laugh at all that once made us suffer when Jesus makes all things new and glorifies us with him. For when we have patience in the Lord, we shall not be put to shame. As the farmer is patient for the harvest, James says, you also be patient. For in due time you shall reap incorruptible riches. For the Lord has victory in his hands. And in due time he shall once and for all bring heaven and earth under his reign. The victory is won with the Lord. And he has conquered the grave, as the powers of darkness could not stand against him, but rather all forces have fallen beneath his feet. For when the fullness of time had come, the Savior came to put an end to evil. Death could not hold him, evil could not control him, the chains of Satan were snapped, and the ways of darkness yielded to his will. Jesus destroyed death itself, bursting forth from the tomb. And in a display of that power, did he proclaim the resurrection of the world. Our Lord holds now the keys of death and Hades in his hands, for Jesus has won and fought on your behalf. Dear friends, the victory of Christ over evil is your destiny also. For those who are of God's people, Christ's end is your end. Christ is the first fruits risen from the grave, and he brings the blessings of life and salvation to you today. You who have been baptized in Christ, buried with him in a death like his, certainly you shall also be united to him in a resurrection like his. The pains of sorrows of life, then, have their end in Jesus Christ. Trials will war against you, as they did against Christ. But be of good cheer. Be patient with the Lord. Submit yourselves unto him, trusting in his mercy. For in due time you shall reap a harvest of glory to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn.
Thank you.
Let us worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are perfect in all that you do, and your ways are pure and good. Lead us to so confess your loving kindness and the mercy of everything you do. And as we confess your glory, lead us to act according to our confession. Lead us to bring our actions in line with the faith which you have given us. Lead us to trust and rest upon you, knowing that what you do for us and in our lives is ultimately for our good. Lead us to submit to you and to see you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lead us to submit our ways, knowing that your ways are always best. In all our ways, may we acknowledge you and live for your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, as we continue trusting, relying, and living for you, grant us patience to fulfill our calling. When trials and difficulties come, give us your spirit of patience to carry us through. Give us a spirit of devotion and unwavering resolve. When temptations arise to lead us astray, and when situations arise to seek to tempt us, to take things into our own hands or to go against your will, lead us into holiness. In patience, lead us to act wisely and to act justly in all our circumstances. May we follow your commandments all the days of our lives. And in patience, may we continue to praise you and become a wise and discerning people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we thank you for the love that you have poured out upon all people. And you have left no one out of your love, nor have you barred anyone out from your church, for you have made a way for all to come to you. And you welcome people from every walk of life. We thank you that even the lowliest among us may come freely to you and be met with open arms. We lift before you our children, asking and trusting for your blessing. Continue to keep them safe, defend them, and provide for them. And we ask further that you would both grow and strengthen them in body and spirit, bringing them by your powerful right hand to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we lift before you also our government and leaders, knowing that you know what you are doing. Lead us in hope and patience. Lead our rulers to govern us wisely, and lead them to uphold wisdom, justice, and care. And at this time, we also lift before you all who are on our hearts and minds this morning, those among us who are sick, hurting, or in distress. We ask would be comforted and provided for. Send your spirit to heal your servants according to your will, and lead all who are struggling to find their rest and life in you, knowing that eternity is in your hands. Lead us to weep with those who weep, and to rejoice with those who rejoice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 527.